Yeah. Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Shandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
All right. Well, hello, Compass. There you are. Well, my name's Terry. If I've not had the opportunity of meeting you yet, I'm married to Chris. And since he had to scratch the rock and roll itch and go to camp this week, you get me today. So, yay! If it is your first week here, you definitely need to come back next week so you can hear him speak. He's my favorite speaker. I think he's really good. So you should come on back and hear him. I do want to give you guys an update. While they all were at camp, stuff still happened here at Compass. And I just have to brag on the ladies of our church. You know, a few weeks back, a couple months maybe, we had our extravagant women's rally, our first one. And at that rally, we had so much fun. It was great. Speaker was really good. And I spoke it. Okay. And but we took up a collection, and we, at Compass, one of the things that is just dear to our heart is the foster community. Kids in foster care and parents who provide foster care. And so at Christmas time, you may know, we adopt the children in the foster care system in our community, and we ask them to give us their Christmas list. And we go to town, and we bug and pester everybody we know, because there's so many of them and the list is so big. But we do a big community outreach, and we buy them, like, awesome Christmas presents for the kids who are in foster care. Well, at our women's rally, we took up a collection because we wanted to encourage the moms who say, I'm going to step up, and I'm going to be a foster parent, because we know that that's a tough job, and it's, like, glamorless, right, and thankless. And so we wanted to just get a nice little gift together for the foster moms in our community. So we took up a collection that day, and I want to let you know that this week, on Tuesday night, some ladies got together and we assembled gift bags. And we had Bath & Body Works stress relief lotion. It smells beautiful and it brings your stress level down. And then some hand soap and a pretty little bracelet and some chocolate. And we took those to the three agencies that we work with at Christmas time. And we gave 167 foster moms care packages this week. Yes. And so here's the note that was attached, okay? It says, hello, lovely one. All the girls at Compass Church want to give you this small gift to encourage you. Choosing to be a foster parent is a selfless choice that sets you apart from the rest. All the hard work you do and the sacrifices you make happen daily without applause. We wanted to let you know that we are praying for you and we are cheering you on. You are truly an unsung hero of our community. Keep serving and loving the children in your care. The words you speak to and over them are life-giving. Keep encouraging, continuing to care, continue to build up. God sees you. He loves you. You are his girl. Hugs and love, all the girls at Compass Church. And so I am just so excited. Each one of these ladies is going to get this encouraging note. And we put in there that we're cheering you on and we're praying for you. And I didn't want to be liar, liar, pants on fire. So we're just going to right now pray for the foster moms in our community, if you'll join me. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for the women and the men who have stepped forward in our community and said, I will be a foster parent. And Lord, we lift them up to you and we ask, God, that you would just bless them with wisdom, with how to deal with the different situations that they are encountering. God, give them your heart for these children. And Lord, we just ask that you would encourage them, that you would lift them up. And Lord, we pray for each child in their care. God, we know that life has probably been rough. And so, Lord, we just pray that your protection would be upon them. And Lord, we pray that you would send people to them who, if they don't know you, Lord, that they would bring them to relationship with you, Jesus, because we want to provide access to you for everyone in our community. God, we thank you. We put them in your care and we love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. So I'm sorry. I just couldn't lie. So I was like, we're going to pray for these people. Okay. All right. Well, we are we've just started last week our series on the story of Daniel. And the series is called Under Pressure. And so as I've been getting ready for this week, I was thinking back over my life. I'm like, you know, you got to have a good story. You got to have stuff to talk about. And when was I under pressure? And so, I've been under pressure lots of times, but there was one specific summer that was I was under a lot of pressure. It was 21 years ago, and I was 20 years old, and it was beautiful, and I was, yeah, never mind. But I was at Central Bible College there, and I was a Bible major. I majored in biblical studies. I may have followed a certain guitar player there, but that was another story. And so I was at Central Bible College, and I loved it. But I had the summer to come home, and I had to raise the $2,500 for my down payment to get me there to let me stay the next semester. And I loved my life there. I loved the freedom of being out of the house, but, you know, being at the dorms, being at college and the whole experience there. Chris was there, and I was all about that. And so I had just a little bit of time to raise a lot of money. And so I get back here, and, you know, at school, I was just beautifully oblivious to what was going on in the local news here in Bloomington Normal. And I was unaware of anything that had happened or any of the news. And so as I get home, there is a jury summons waiting for me in my mailbox. And so I get here and I get to report for jury duty, like within the first couple weeks of the summer. So I am stressed out. I've got to find a job. I've got to make money to get back. And I have jury duty. So I show up and they're trying to fill a jury for a murder trial that has happened. So I didn't know anything about it. Back in 95, Kim Wenger had died here in town. Someone had put a pipe bomb on her front porch, and she picked it up and died. And it was the Dale Fosdick trial. And so I'm there, and they're questioning me, and I'm like, oh, stink. I'm going to maybe be on a murder trial, and I ain't got time for this. Whew. So I get there, and they're questioning all these jurors and, you know, releasing people and keeping people. And so they get to me, and they're asking me all these questions. You know, have you read any news articles about this story? No. Have you listened to any radio WJBC coverage of this story? No. Do you have any, you know, preconceived notions, or, you know, do you trust police officers? Yeah, you know, all of these questions. And I'm like, look, I don't have time for this, though. This would be great. It'd be, the jury system's great, but I got to go to school. I got to raise this money. I don't have time for this. And so the defense attorney was trying to help me out. And he says to me, well, Miss Wright, that was my maiden name. He's like, Miss Wright, don't you think that because of your financial situation, you would probably just make a snap decision and a rush judgment, and maybe not thoroughly think about all of the evidence in this case just because of your financial situation. And I'm like, oh, I could say yes and maybe get out of here. But I was like, I wouldn't do that. I can't lie. So I was like, no, I wouldn't do that. That would be really crappy. I wouldn't do that. I didn't say crappy. I don't know what I said. I said something really profound and wonderful. And so I got to be on the jury for the Dale Fosdick case here in Bloomington Normal. It lasted 6 weeks. So 6 weeks, I am showing up to the Law and Justice Center, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to testimony about tool mark identification. I'm looking at photos of a woman's brain, like, splattered all over. It was horrible. And you could go home, but you couldn't speak of it. So I'm seeing all these horrible things and not able to talk about it. Lots of pressure. I'm still just like, I just want to go back to school. But I can't, you know, I just was powerless. So it gets to be the end of the trial, and we finally go into deliberations, which lasted, I think we deliberated like 4 days, and it was very tense, and I just wanted to get out, and the O.J. Simpson trial was in full force at this point, and so there we had a juror in there who just decided, police are corrupt, I'm not deliberating, and he literally would prop his chair up against the wall and sleep during the day, and we're like, we were just stuck, so it was awful, and so we ended up, one of the jurors was not able to finish because her doctor said she couldn't because she had a kind of a breakdown, and it was a mistrial. So 6 weeks and 4 days and seeing all that junk, and I am just stuck. and I'm not, and I just want to go back to school. I just want to go back to school. But I ended up getting a job at Lone Star Steakhouse and was just going to try to get through. I was under so much pressure. Well, you know, we're talking about Daniel. And Daniel was under a lot of pressure. If you were here last week, Chris started and the series, and we just basically started with the book. We opened up the book of Daniel, and Daniel is the author of his story. And so you, as you may remember, Daniel is there, and he lived in Judah. And Judah had, God had been warning the Jewish people. He'd been saying, you've got to stop sinning. You've got to turn to me, turn back to me, or annihilation is coming. And the prophets would speak this out over years and years and years and decades. And they just didn't. They had quit worshiping God. They were doing horrible, awful things. And so the Babylonians came in and they conquered Judah. And what happened was the king, Nebuchadnezzar, when they conquered Judah, he said, I want you to go get the kids who are, go get some of the nobility. And I want you to bring the best and the brightest, and they're going to serve in my kingdom. They're going to serve in my court. So they gather up just lots of the nobility Jewish kids. And they take them away from their home, from their families. And they're going to go through 3 years of basically reprogramming. They took away their names, and they gave them new names. And the new names that they gave them honored the pagan gods that the Babylonians worshipped. So they're taken away from their home, taken away from their family, saying, that is not your name. They give them a new name that honors a pagan god. The men are castrated because they don't want them to have any threat at all to King Nebuchadnezzar and his reign. And so you could say Daniel is really, like, he's in a horrible, horrible place. And so this is where we pick up. And so one thing, when I would look at this story as a kid, I remember being like, well, he's kind of lucky. He got to go live in the palace. But that was before I knew what all that entailed and really how much he had lost. But the one thing that I thought was kind of cool was that they were ordered, you know, the people, the slaves, the king had given them the order, feed them from my table. So the fine wine and the rich food that the kings would eat, that was what Daniel and his friends and all of the captured people were going to eat. Well, this is where we're going to pick up in Daniel 1, verse 8. And it says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chef, the chief official, for permission not to defile himself this way. So you might be like, well, what? What was the big deal? Why didn't Daniel want to eat the king's food? And so here's the thing. Daniel, even though he has just lost everything, he's in, I mean, just unimaginable situation. He's lost everything. He still has a heart that says, God's in control, and I want to honor him, and I want to please God. And so the Jewish people had a lot of dietary restrictions that God had laid out for them. Is just part of being a Jewish person. And so it could be that the food was not kosher. It doesn't say in scripture. It could be that the food, that the meat was sacrificed to pagan gods. And so that's what made it offensive. We're not really sure, but we know that it was an issue that Daniel did not want to sin against God. He wanted to honor God in this. And so he, in his heart, he God, I don't want to sin against you in this way. I want to honor you. And so what he did was he didn't stand up and say, he didn't protest and say, this is my right. You've taken away all my rights. You've taken away everything, and I have the right to eat what I want. He didn't stand up in defiance, but he simply went to the person who is in authority, and he asked the question. Now God had caused, in verse 9, now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other men your age? The king would have my head because of you." So basically, you know, Daniel takes his plight to the person who's in authority over him and just asks the question, could I please not eat this food? And God sees Daniel's heart to honor him, and God sees the humble position that Daniel takes when he comes and submits to the authority over him. And God steps in, and he honors that. And he causes the person who's over in authority over Daniel to have favor and compassion for Daniel. And he's like, "Look, dude, I understand, and I want to help you out." But he's like, "But you know the king, and if he sees that you're looking sickly and scrawny, and then finds out that I wasn't, like, I disobeyed a direct order and was feeding you something different than what I was told to, it would be my head. Like, I'll die." So they make an agreement, okay? And Daniel said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. And I just got to tell you, this is not exciting for me. I'm not a vegetable girl. I'm like, bring me the steaks and the lattes. So the idea that like, Daniel purposed in his heart that he wanted to honor God. He wanted to obey God's way. He wanted to honor God. He didn't want to sin against God. And something that seemed like it might not have even been that big of a deal. Like, really, what's the big deal? So you eat some stupid food. Everybody else, and you've got Daniel's listed and his four friends are listed here in this passage. But everybody else who's been taken, they're just going with this. They're eating whatever they're served. Like, they're just not making a big deal. They're just trying to get by. And I don't know, as I observe this, as I've been soaping this out this week, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I'm like, what things are we under pressure? Maybe, you know, because we don't have the dietary restrictions of the Jewish people, but what little things are we under pressure to just like let slide, just to get by? There's lots of things, right? Like, it's okay, just tell a little white lie, it's no big deal, everybody does it. You know what? Hold a grudge. You're entitled to your grudge. Get angry, hold a grudge. That's what everybody does. Spout off about your anger and how you think that, you know, so-and-so is wrong, or it's just, it's our culture. It's our culture to have sex before we're married. It's our culture. We're under pressure to just, you know what? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? And just to let sin in. Things that don't honor God. But as we follow what Daniel did and we observe Daniel's life, we see that we can trust in God and we can do it his way. The point of today, as we come through the rest of this story, is that no matter what happens, I can trust and obey God. No matter what happens, I can trust and obey God. When my kids were little, they were toddlers, and you know, toddlers whine and they fuss and they, you know, like you can get upset about stupid things, and I would tell them, "Hey, No fussing. You just decide to be happy. You just decide in your heart you're not good." And so I would say, "Hey, no matter what happens," what do we say? "No matter what happens, I'm going to be happy." I'm like, "Oh, okay, now say it like you're happy." "No matter what happens, I'm going to be happy." Like, "No, say it. No matter what happens, I'm going to be happy." Right. So our truth that we're going to pull out of this story today is that no matter what happens, I can trust and obey God. So God sees Daniel, and he sees that Daniel still has a heart to follow God and honor God, even when things are crummy. And he sees that Daniel takes a humble place. He almost embraces the place that he's in. And he submits himself to the authority that he's under and just asks the question. And then God steps in, gives favor to Daniel, and not only favor, but over the next 10 days, Daniel and his friends just eat vegetables and water. And at the end of the 10 days, when they look at everybody else, the other guy, Daniel and his friends, are stronger and healthier than all the rest. So God has stepped in. He's granted favor over Daniel. He's done a miraculous work in keeping them strong and healthy. And you're going to see throughout Daniel's life that as Daniel continues to just be humble and to submit and to embrace the place that he's in, honor God with a humble heart, then God elevates Daniel. God promotes Daniel in a big and a mighty way. I want to tell you, if you're in a place in your life right now where maybe there's a relationship that isn't where you think it should be, maybe your career is not where you think it should be, things are just not your favorite right now, I would speak to you and I would encourage you to embrace the place that you are in, embrace the authority that is over you, and submit. Purpose in your heart to be pure before God, to honor him with your life, and to submit under the authority that you are in. Because when you do that, you open up heaven. And God, he elevates the humble. And God will promote you better and faster than trying to figure it all out on your own. No matter what happens, you can trust and obey God. You know, there's stuff that happens to us. People can be jerks, and we got free will. And so you may be in a mess because of what maybe someone else has done. But we have this promise. God takes all that stuff, and he weaves it together, and he works it for your good. All things, he works together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So maybe you are feeling like you're a prisoner in your own life right now. Stand on this. God works everything together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Embrace the place that you are in. Submit to the authority that you are under. And keep a pure heart before God and see what he does. So it was the summer of 1995, and I got that job at Lone Star Steakhouse. And I was just going to be stuck here. Well, one thing that I left out was when I got selected to be on that jury. There was a reporter from the Pantograph, and he wrote an article. Of course, my name wasn't in it because everything's anonymous with that stuff. That, you know, this juror had to go to college, but went ahead and served on the jury when she was asked, you know, don't you think you'd make, you know, a snap decision? So they wrote an article about this. And so at the end of the trial, they ran another article, and they set up a bank account at a bank here in town, and it just in the Pantograph ran, if you'd like to help the juror go back to college this fall, you can stop by this bank and make a deposit. And with a week left before I had to go to school, $2,500 from the community showed up in that bank account. And Jesus, he just worked it out. And so I'm just telling you, and there's over and over and over and over, there's so many things that I could tell you where God has come through in a way that I never would have planned. And sometimes when I waited, I wouldn't have chosen either. But you can trust him. You can trust God. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for your goodness to us. I thank you for your amazing love for us. I thank you, God, that you can work everything together for our good. And so, Lord, right now, we examine our hearts and we ask you, Jesus, if there's anything, Lord, any activity we're involved in or anything that we are doing, anything in our hearts and our attitudes that is displeasing to you, Lord, we want to honor you. We don't want to sin against you. So would you point that out to us now? Lord, we repent of our sin and we turn to you. We submit to you, Lord, and we pray, God, that, Lord, I pray for each one here, Lord, if they're in a place where they feel discouraged and beat down, Lord, that you would help them, that you would elevate them as they humble themselves before you. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that we can trust you and obey you no matter what happens. In your name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.